Bart and Logan are friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Logan and Tim are also friends who met on the internet. And Tim and Bart are buddies too. Now it's the three of them and you. Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters. Much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break number 5. And we got to start things off right. Happy birthday, Tim Tracker.
Thank you. It's my birthday.
It is. It's our first birthday show.
Yeah.
You get anything
I don't
good?
Know, like, no, I mean, as an adult, I no longer get presents. That's not something that I do.
Well, I don't know if your wife or, like, got you
no,
something.
No, that was the thing is, like, it's just me and Jen have always had this understanding. It's like, Christmas, birthdays, we're not going to get each other anything because, like, if we want something, we buy it. Like, there's nothing that I could be like, oh, thanks for getting me that. Like, I always wanted one of those.
Yeah, it's a little too logical.
I would just go and buy it.
That's way too logical for my household. That's not how it goes. So, oh man. Well, again, happy birthday. We're excited for you. It's fun to see. And hey, you do get lots of gifts. I watch your Use Days videos, and the stuff you get is crazy. So I mean, it's kind of like your birthday every Tuesday.
Yeah. That's a good way to think of it. I like it.
Well, how's everyone doing? How have your week's been going?
No, what day is today?
Wednesday. I mean, a full week since we spoke. Yeah, I'm talking about the royal week, our week.
That's true. The royal
week. Wow. That's a good question. I have no idea what I've done since the last time we talked.
No idea.
I have terrible recollection. Like, I know that I met with a fence guy today about getting a new fence put around the house.
His name was Mike Axel. He runs...
His name was Mike Axel.
He's running the Nashville Bike Week. You got a good conversation.
Came on
him.
A motorcycle.
Yeah, he said he can't enter Georgia or Tennessee right now, but he can take care of things in Florida, so it's fine. So, man...
The cool thing was, because he came out, I got in on, like, the bottom floor of a music festival / bike week here in Florida. I'm excited. Oh. Like, he just, it was a very, very, like, small investment on my part.
Sure, and cash.
Yeah, now we're doing it. He just didn't give me any details, so I have no idea when or where.
He'll call
you. But I'm sure that'll work itself out.
Yeah, he'll call you.
Well, I had a wedding this past weekend. My cousin Jenny got married, and that was fun. She's a big Disney nerd, so that was fun to experience that stuff with her and had a blast. I did on the way down. I was changing washer fluid. I wish it was something cooler that I was fixing in my minivan. And the wind gusts and it slammed the hood on my hand. So that's a fun part that I thought I would have been like, I thought I was in shock because it didn't really hurt. The next day it hurt pretty bad. But now, hey, I'm full good as new because I think it's because the Logan Wolverine movie came out. It's inspiration. I can self-heal. I don't have to worry about that. So,
ooh. Yeah. Yeah, because you're Logan.
Yeah, because I'm Logan. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to go see Logan?
I kind of want to. Like, I'm on a Marvel kick right now because of that show on FX, Legion, which I'm like, there's only 3 episodes in, but I'm really into it. It's very hard to follow, but
I haven't seen it.
It loosely follows the X-Men universe.
Interesting. I had not even heard about it, which is crazy if you're telling me about something comic booky that I don't know.
It's really, like, a really interesting concept. I don't know if this actually was a comic book. I think it was.
Yeah, Legion
but
was.
But basically... It's like there's this mutant that has like this incredible ability, but he might be insane. And so it's like following him through. Like, they find him in a mental institution.
Right.
And they're just thinking like he has telepathy. So he hears voices and they're thinking like, no, that's not, you're not schizophrenic. You're the voices you're hearing is your power. And then it like starts to progress a little bit more, and you're sitting there as the viewer, like thinking to yourself, like maybe he is crazy, which is, I don't know, it's an interesting concept for that whole thing. Like, if a mutant with telepathy was actually crazy.
Have you read any of the comics or any of this? Like, have they explained any backstory yet? Because I know the character Legion. Like, from the
book. I mean, they've gone a little bit into his backstory, but nothing like...
Nothing revealing.
Nothing like I would get, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll leave it at that because I don't want to spoil stuff for you. I don't even know how, you know, sometimes they don't really go according to the books. So we'll see.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's really, really well filmed, and it's a little bit hard to follow because the timeline is a little bit all over the place because it's a lot of like memory work and stuff like that is taking place. And so it's kind of hard to follow, but it's really, really nicely filmed.
I'll have to check it out because, I mean, Logan comes out today, actually, when you're releasing this on Thursday. So I'm excited. I'm going to try to hit it up tonight because I actually haven't seen the last probably 5 X-Men movies. I did see both of the Wolverine movies, for better or for worse. But this one, I don't know, maybe it's not just because of my namesake, but I think just having Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart back together. I mean, I showed the trailer to my wife, who is not exactly the X-Men viewer, and she was pumped. She's like, I gotta see this. But she sees anything with Patrick Stewart. She's sort of in love with him.
Well, this is also the first, aside from Deadpool, I guess, then the second Marvel movie that's rated R.
Yeah, exactly. And this one looks like it's hardcore. I mean, it's a different, I think it's a, Deadpool obviously is rated R because of violence and because of just language and dirty jokes and all that. This just looks like it's a hardcore action movie. But yeah, I think they took the bet on Deadpool to see how it did, and it did well. And now I think they know that the fans of X-Men are old enough to tolerate a Wolverine that we've kind of always wanted with the Old Man Logan book. And it's exciting. I can't wait to see it. I haven't read any reviews, so I have no idea what people are saying. Hopefully it's good. Having both of them on screen together as in their characters, I can't imagine it's going to be horrible. So I think I'll fully enjoy it. I look forward to it. I'm happy.
Well, I think it's going to do well too, because of the success of Stranger Things and the 11 character. And the, what is her name, X-23 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
I think there's people are probably drawing a correlation between the two in their minds, saying like, oh, like, here's a mutant young girl from Stranger Things, and then there's like, you still have that feeling inside of you of like, oh, I just watched Stranger Things, like, this sort of like has that same feel to it, maybe, but probably doesn't, but like, I don't know, in my mind, that's at least something that I did.
Well, in the books, I think she was like like they even made her more weird. I think she was green, I believe. I'm not positive about that. Maybe she was, like, I don't want to spoil it just in case they go into it, but I believe she was a green baby. Maybe that does spoil it. We'll see.
A green baby.
It's a green baby.
If you look up green baby X-Men Wolverine, and you'll see a lot of pictures of, and it does kind of spoil it, so maybe don't do it. But I can't imagine they're going this angle for the movie, just because it wouldn't make any sense. But you never know. Whoa.
Oh, wait. Sorry, that might be my phone. I had it close to the microphone.
We're entering the fifth dimension.
Right. You know what was really funny is the last time I listened to the podcast, and when Bart went into his fifth dimension, it didn't come through on the recording at
right.
all. And we're just like, what's happening? And it just sounds totally normal.
Yeah. One of my friends said his favorite part of the last episode is when you can hear Bart just going, hello, hello. And it's in the back. Like, we're just talking on top of him. It doesn't sound like, in real life, obviously he was disconnected. We couldn't hear him at all. But when we mixed it, I was like, it's kind of funny. Just have him going every so often. And when we're rambling, just saying, hello, guys. Hello.
It weirded me out even. I forgot about it. I was like, who am I talking to?
Well, I do a mild amount of editing in the show, just enough. But I mean, look, the show, we're recording this is Wednesday. The show comes out tomorrow. I don't have that much time. We're entering the dimension again, so.
I don't know.
I don't even hear it.
I put my phone underneath myself.
All right.
What? You're sitting on your phone?
Well, I put it like down below me, so hopefully my body mass will stop all of the the microwave and, you know.
Oh no! You got a fancy haircut now. It's like Samson. Now you got no powers. It's just.
Oh man, I really like my haircut. But somebody left a comment on the video, and they're like, "I'm gonna say this in the nicest way possible, but with your haircut, your head looks like a thumb." And I was like, "Oh man."
Sorry,
I have a thumb head.
I guess that is the nicest way you can say that, because there really is no nice way to say that. And it's not true,
right?
By the way.
I just like to people feel
I prefer
totally
my
cool
Tim that way.
I feel like a lot of people are totally cool with just saying that too. Like, hey, I don't know you. I don't mean to offend you, but you look like a thumb. Have fun. Well, should we talk about, guys, our giveaway? What's happening right now? Our first ever. It's Tim's birthday, so I feel like we should give gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well. And I'm going to text you guys because boxes just arrived. And we teased this for a couple weeks now. And man, it's crazy the amount of support you guys have given us, whether it's from Dunkin' Donuts or Girl Scout cookies. All these people have reached out. But a few weeks ago, Tim kind of professed his love for the Moon Pie. As we talked about the Moon Pie Fest, it got back to Moon Pie. We've been in discussions with them. So here's the deal. Number one, thanks to the people at Moon Pie, because they just sent us, guys, I sent you a picture of it, two giant boxes, one full of Moon Pies that I will be shipping out to you guys, some t-shirts and some camo hats that are pretty awesome. I know. I'll send you a picture of it right now. I'm rocking one right now as we speak, recording this episode. I am rocking a Moon Pie hat. And with that, they wanted to give back to our listeners, and they thought this would be an awesome way to do it. So we're doing a joint kind of contest, I guess, if you will, but just a giveaway, something fun for the next few weeks at least. And what they've done is they've created boxes of exclusive mini Moon Pies that have the BLT logo emblazoned on the box, which is pretty unreal to look at.
Yeah. I'm excited. That's a good-looking hat, too, by the way.
It is. Sorry, guys. Those hats are for us. You get one of these exclusive boxes of mini Moon Pies. Again, they only have made so far a dozen. I'm taking one. I'm sure Tim and Bart are taking one. So there's only going to be, like, at least for the first run, like 9 of them. So we're going to roll them out over the next couple of weeks. And what we need you to do, if you want one of these boxes and we want to be able to give them away, all you got to do is follow Moon Pie on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. That's at BLT Lunch Break. And then whoever tweets, tagging both of us in it, the most creative tweets each week for the next few weeks, we will ship out to you for free a prize pack, which is a exclusive. I like saying exclusive. Exclusive BLT, the first ever BLT branded snack cake that will be available. All you got to do is, again, just tweet us at BLT Lunch Break, at Moon Pie. Follow both of us. Somehow tie it in. Most creative, the one we like the most, will win each week. Feel free to add photos, Photoshop, do whatever you want to try to beat your competition. And man, it's just, we're just thrilled that our audience is as passionate, that people like Moon Pie, huge companies right here in Tennessee, are just happy to reach out. So again, we'll do that, and then we'll announce the winner of the first week next week. So if you're listening on release day, by next Thursday, we'll have a winner. So you got a week to do it. But then we'll do one probably the following week.
I'm kind of interested. Like you mentioned photos and Photoshop. I feel like I'm kind of leaning more towards like, a song,
okay,
or like a poem about Moon Pies.
Hey,
but you never know. I might be blown away by a photo.
I'm up for whatever. Open. Have fun. The most creative tweet, and the one we like the most, and maybe the least creative tweet. The one we like the most, it's totally subjective, we'll win one of these boxes of mini Moon Pies with our logo on them with the BLT Lunch Break. And I just got to give, again, a big old high five and hug to the people at Moon Pie. So, again, it's just awesome. And thank you guys so much for tweeting about us and Moon Pie and all the other snack cakes, that all the good stuff. And speaking of which, what are you guys having for lunch today?
Ooh. What are you having, Bart?
I already, you know it. I had, and by the way, just to peel back the curtain, I was a few minutes ago when Tim stopped talking to the audience, I was coughing and I forgot I hit the cough button on my mic, but not on my phone. So don't worry, guys. You won't hear me dying on the actual podcast.
It was delightful.
I was like, why are they stopping? I'm like, oh, because they can hear me. Sorry. I had James Jonathan's. I had to have it delivered. This is Jimmy John's to you common folk.
Oh.
I actually have a question about this. So, because I was going to bring soup. I was going to bring a healthy soup, and I forgot. So, and I knew we were doing this, and I was starving, so I had to eat something before we did the show. So I went online, and I ordered my usual, I get the number 9, the Italian nightclub with no tomato on the French bread, in case somebody ever wants to send me one, and a bag of jalapeno chips. But here's the thing. So when you do it, when you're having it delivered, obviously there's a spot to include a tip. When you're ordering one sandwich and a bag of chips, like, what do you tip?
What's that total?
It was 8 something, and I gave him like, I tip basically like 40%. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not just going to give them $1.60. That feels really cheap, even though they are 5 minutes away. I mean, literally, it takes a drop of gas to get here and a drop back. But I just, I felt, I'm almost like, I was like, I feel guilty ever tipping anything less than $5. Yeah. But I don't want to pay $13 for a Jimmy John's sandwich either.
Yeah, I feel like.
Well, that's the.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
That's the way that I look at it. I feel like you were about to say the same thing as me, is like $5 minimum.
Absolutely.
Like you just figure it's like a delivery charge at that point, right?
Yeah.
Like their time, it's you're saving your time by not going and getting it. So is it worth $5? Yeah, $5 minimum.
Well, there you go.
The other thing too is it's not like a waiter, like waiters or servers may only get paid like $3 an hour. So I don't know when I was a waiter, it was like 2.25 an hour. And so that's why they rely on, you know, you tip 20% or more. I always tip minimum 20%. But people at Jimmy John's get paid at least minimum wage or more, right? Listen to me justifying being cheap.
I have no idea the inner workings of a Jimmy John's. Now I have a feeling one of our listeners does, and they can reach out.
I know. We're going to hear about this.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, I got to go $5 minimum as well. Have you guys ever used, I don't know if it's in your area, the Uber Eats?
Not yet.
So with Uber Eats, there's not the option really to tip. I have tipped, but then sometimes they run away from you before you can tip because it's supposed to be like Uber where you don't tip. But then sometimes they pause and give me that awkward moment. So it's very confusing. I wish Uber honestly would go to tipping on the app because they're a cashless system. It's nerve-wracking. It makes me uncomfortable because I don't know what the person's going to do when they show up. And I usually don't have small bills on me. I only have hundreds because that's how I roll. No. I usually have no cash on me. So when they show up, sometimes it's like I'll have like last night we got it for dinner and the woman like took off in a quarter of a second before I could even give her any money, which is fine.
Get away from me. No exactly. Money, get away.
There's a grown man in a Pokemon shirt that I'm delivering.
True.
I forget what I even ate last night. I don't know.
What do you guys think about when you go and you like pick up food? Like you call ahead to Chili's. Yeah. They put your food together. You just drive up to that one special spot, hop out, pay them, and pick up your food. Are you tipping the full 18%, 15%, 20%, whatever you tip?
Are you tipping at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do. Because they like somebody put...
Yeah.
See, I don't know. It depends on the restaurant, but I think there's one person that like shows up to work that day. They're like, all right, I'm going to serve. And then the manager's like, all right, you're doing to-go orders. And so they're putting together to-go orders and they have no tables.
I typically ask, I usually say, where does this tip go? If I tip, are you getting the tip like to the person? And if they say yes, then I'll usually tip. If sometimes they say no, it just goes in. It just goes back to the company. So it just depends on that. So I would say ask. I usually ask like a Chili's or something like that if I'm picking it up. Mm. I'll ask the person. I go, if I tip, if it goes to you, I'm happy to tip. If it just goes to, you know, corporate Chili's, nothing wrong with that. I love those Chipotle chicken tenders, whatever they're called. But they'll destroy you, but they're delicious. But, yeah, so I usually ask. That's usually my go-to.
Well, because I picked up Chinese food on Saturday night for us. I ordered it, picked it up. You know, and it's a carry-out place. It's not like a place you would sit and eat and tip a server or anything.
Yeah, that's...
So there was a spot on the receipt for a tip, and I just put a line through it and said, no, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but... And honestly, I've never actually picked up from Chili's. I think my philosophy would be if it's an establishment where tipping is generally happening, then I don't mind. I'll probably do the minimum, but, you know, I will. But, yeah, like, I don't tip at McDonald's, and it's kind of the same thing. But I didn't know that person normally would be getting tips. Now I would. Then I would feel bad.
Now you just got to ask.
Well, I guess, yeah, it depends on the place.
Yeah. So, Tim, what are you having for lunch?
Ooh, I just finished eating... A cheese quesadilla.
Oh, did you make it?
It was delicious.
From Chili's.
No, I did just make it because what happened was I looked down at the clock and I was like, oh, dang, they're going to be ready in like 3 seconds. And so I was like real quick, like, oh, I got to eat something. And I ate a cheese quesadilla because it was fast and fry it up and then cut it up and eat it.
Happy birthday to Tim. Rocking the...
happy birthday to me.
Rocking the cheese quesadilla. I didn't eat anything yet. I am back on my hardcore dieting because I got the Orlando City match coming up this Sunday. I got to be in shape, ready to go crazy with all of my other supporters. But not for real, I just need, honestly, be in better shape. So I've had about a couple cups of coffee, and I've had about three Dasani sparkling black cherry beverages that have no nothing in them, except for a little bit of sodium, and that's been my my day so far. I probably will do lunch very late if I do anything, and I've been trying to just stay away from the bread, stay away from the pasta, stay away from the fun stuff. It's all torture. It's fine, though. I'm fine, I promise.
I should probably be doing that, but, you know, it's my birthday.
No,
are you going to go out to dinner?
Am I going out to
dinner? I think so. I said I wanted a hamburger today, but I haven't picked where I'm going yet.
The Observatory.
I kind of want to go out to the beach.
Oh.
Like, that's where I'm kind of feeling.
Daytona?
Like a quick trip out to the beach. Yeah, Daytona, New Smyrna. Daytona or New Smyrna usually.
Yeah.
There's a place out there in New Smyrna called JB's Fish Camp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
good.
Oh, that's the best.
It's really good.
Man, we need to meet up there next week. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
After the Atlanta City match, let's meet at the fish camp, man. Will and I used to go there a lot as kids. Oh, that sounds good.
Do they have a Twitter? Everybody?
Yeah, if they have a Twitter, reach out. There's a song. There's a local song I remember that has that in. I have to find which one. No, that's a thrilling story right there. But Bert Wilson, he has a song that mentions maybe Florida Boy by Ben, which is a great song.
Oh, it might be, yeah.
One of them mentions
it. I think I saw him the other day.
Yeah.
But
he's interesting.
That may be like completely random for people that don't know Florida. There used to be a guy, I don't know if he's still on the radio or not, but his name was Bubba Wilson.
Yeah.
And he actually, bringing it full circle, I think he did the music for
Rockafire.
The pizza place. The Rockafire. Yep. Yeah.
He was the voice of Fats, the gorilla.
Oh.
He did theme song for me for a very shortly lived podcast that I did like a decade ago. And he's overall I've only met him a couple times. Good guy, local guy, plays around town. Does some interesting stuff. But yeah, that was his history. He worked with like Michael Jackson, like a musical genius. But if you look, one of his albums, I think it's called Everett, and it's his solo, not Bubba as Bert. It's one of my, honestly, I love the record. It has some goofy songs on it, but there's some really, really great songs on there. So that's a free plug to Bubba and to Bert and whichever one you want to call them during the time. But yeah, I grew up on that stuff, man. I grew up, I used to go out to Spring Beach. I went to Cocoa Beach and saw him perform when I was like 17, because I was probably rocking the Moon Pie a camo hat at the time as well. It was probably a Dale Earnhardt hat, if I'm going to be honest.
Oh, no.
It's happening again.
Nope.
It's happening again.
Are you back in the zone? You're back in the Phantom Zone?
You keep speaking, Bart.
Back in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, because I'm not hearing anything. The boys have been zapped into the Twilight Zone, so I'm taking over the show now. Who else can we talk about that we can tweet? Oh, you know what I discovered? Speaking of Uber Eats, I wanted to talk to you guys about this. I jokingly tweeted, I'm like, is there any, like, why won't Uber Eats deliver a bottle of Bacardi O'Cart to my house? Which is, it's a cheap rum that I like. I shouldn't call it cheap. It's fine rum.
Yeah.
From the Bacardi organization, if they're listening. And somebody's like, oh, check this. Yeah. Like, check this. They sent me a link for a company called Drizzly. Boy, am I saying that right? I hope I don't get it wrong because they have a bear for their logo. Yeah, Drizzly, Drizly, but their logo is a bear because it sounds like grizzly, I guess. And it's literally like the Uber Eats of booze. And they've contracted with local liquor stores, and they'll just deliver whatever you want to your house for a tiny little upcharge.
Well, there you go. That's
we live in wondrous times.
Like, we get our groceries delivered every once in a while when we're like running out of time. And we need to get the groceries to our, like, we don't have time to go grocery shopping. And one of the companies that we use is, I don't remember the name of it, but I think Drizzly might be the subsidiary of them that delivers the liquor.
Yeah. We have that as well. We have, I think, Delivery Dudes, which is based on the Big Lebowski, which I have to say I've had some hit or miss dealings with the dudes, but overall pretty good. Uber Eats may have taken over for them, but yeah, we have that too. I've never used that. We do the grocery delivery though. I got three little kids, and the grocery delivery, even if it's a little more expensive for my wife not to have to try to get them all through the grocery store, even just go out late. It's been nice to have the grocery deliver every so often.
I know, and my wife works evenings, so I'm usually the one doing those trips with three kids. So I feel, trust me, it's worth the upcharge to not have to deal with it, especially because we do a lot of our grocery shopping. Like, I know, Tim, you shop at Publix which we don't have up here. So we do a lot of our grocery shopping at Super Target because I find that price-wise, plus I just enjoy Target anyway. It's a weird thing about me. I'm very happy inside of Target. But, you know, you can't go to Target.
Like my son.
Yeah. Because we spend half the time on the other side of the store looking at toys and electronics. And if I don't, you know, every time you walk in, you're like, no one's getting anything, right? That's okay, as soon as you walk in. Oh, can I get this? Can I get this? So, and then I saw someone on this podcast pick up a jar of superheroes in the cheap section at Target, that front section. And now they all want a jar.
What is this? What is a jar of superheroes?
It's a jar of little plastic figures. Yeah, but they're $3. That's where they get you. It's in the dollar section. But they have a jar of superheroes, and then they have a jar of fairies for the girls. And they kind of remind me of, and now again, I'm older than both of you, but you may remember. You remember when there was little pink wrestler figures?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're muscle figures.
Muscle? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
They're like that. They're all one color, just plastic, weird little figures, but they're superheroes. They actually look like wrestlers to me anyway. Logan, you'd probably like them. Go to Target.
I will.
They're right in that cheap section.
I live pretty much adjacent to a Target, which is kind of strange. Well, not adjacent, but pretty much across the street. So I'll take a look because you complain about $3. Like a Star Wars action figure that was like $4.99 when I was a kid is now like $12 to $20. So you know what? I bought a Ninja Turtles / WWE Superstars. Like, okay, I'm not paying $25 for these on eBay. So I finally found them at the Walmart and they were $19.99. Like, dang it. Like, I thought I was getting upcharged like $15, not $5. It was, the toys have gotten higher. So I like that. And my son would go for that because he see the quantity over the quality of the toy. So
exactly.
I'll have to take a look at that. I definitely will swing by that that section and pick up a was it bucket of superheroes? Jar of superheroes?
Jar. I think it's jar of superheroes.
I did
But I'll tell you guys.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll tell you what hasn't gone up in price. Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I was getting into. So over the weekend, I went to Atlanta, and this just made me think of it, like the toy inflation prices and all that. And I went to Atlanta where I spent the first 15 years of my life, and I was able to take my son to the comic book store, which I grew up in, which was real strange. And it's and great people that run it. I've been friends with them now for, gosh, since like 1996, so a long time. And I haven't been to the store in a while, and it has moved and changed, but still the same setup, same logos, same everything. And to walk in to experience that, like a childhood store that I would never have expected to be there 30 years later, 20 years later, was remarkable. But what I thought was funny is that he was picking up all these toys, and a lot of the same toys I had when I was kids, and the prices were still not astronomical. So, these toys that were, if anything, they've depreciated in value. And we later on that weekend went to a Comic-Con, and he picked up Street Sharks for like $1.50. You know, he was, it was so funny to kind of re-experience those things with him and to see it. But man, like one couple came in and they were like, and a couple and their son, who's now like 11 or 12, and he was like, man, this is my last time doing this. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, we went to Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus every year. And then afterwards, we'd go to Galactic Quest, which is the comic book store in Atlanta. Any Atlanteans, go visit Galactic Quest. And Kyle, he has a couple original comic books. But they were like, this is the last year because Ringling Brothers. And I was talking to him. I was like, man, what are the odds that your comic book store would have lasted longer than Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus? Like, if you had to take a bet, a comic book store locally in Atlanta would last is pretty absurd. Is there any of those things for you guys, any childhood stores that still, like, because you mentioned the World of Wonder store, but that's gone. But, like, they're still there, and you're like, how is this happening?
No, most of them are shut down.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's so rare that this would exist, a locally owned comic book store that's been there 20 plus years.
You know what the crazy thing is? The only thing that I can imagine right now that's been around that I went to as a kid is a Chuck E. Cheese.
A Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And that's it. Or maybe like a mini golf place too, but I can't. Disney. That's been around.
Yeah. That's a little different. But man, that's just crazy. It was such a weird experience. But man, Street Sharks are now all the rage in my house. We're watching all the shows are on YouTube for free. So, and they just keep going and going and going. So we're in full Street Shark mode, which is pretty awesome. That and Lego Batman.
You know what my favorite was? And in high school, I went on a binge. Anytime I had a little extra money hidden away, I'd go to a comic and toy shop. And I'd buy at least one figure because they were like $20 a piece. Thundercats. I was way into the Thundercats. And I bought a ton of them. I had a huge box full of them. because I was certain in my mind that getting them at $20 a piece was a bargain, because by now, here I am 41 years old, they would have been worth hundreds of dollars a piece.
Yeah.
I was certain of it. Pretty sure if you look on eBay, they're $10.
$21.
Not even.
If that.
I think I would have lost money on the deal. Of course, they got someone threw them out when I went to college.
Of course.
Or gave them away or something. I don't know. They disappeared. So
somehow my mom kept everything except for the stuff that I really still want. Like I have, she at one point came over to my office and dropped off loads of boxes. I literally this last week got rid of a lot of them, of just junk that I had in my room. But I was like, oh, what happened to my like real Ghostbusters firehouse? Oh, we gave that to your cousin. What? Like that's the one thing I could at least like pass on. But I have a bunch of, and I have the same thing though, dude, with, I have every character. We mentioned the Phantom Menace last week, but I have every character from the first run. I was there at midnight at Toys R Us to buy that line. So I have the first edition, first run of every, that first line of Phantom Menace action figures that are about worth $2 each right now. And I legitimately told my wife, I was like, one Christmas, like next Christmas, I'll just give them all to Riker and just be like, it's a party. And I did it again. Here's the part. I know this. So then flash forward, you know, fast forward 8 years, 9 years. No, 1999. So yeah, no, more than that. Gosh, whenever it was from Phantom Menace to The Force Awakens coming out, I'm standing at line at midnight at Toys R Us. And I buy the entire line again, and I buy two of each of them, one for my son to play with and one for me. And I found them today in a box, all boxed up. Haven't touched them since that day. And I just said, what are you doing to yourself, man? Like, you know how this goes. These are not – I mean, yes, they were hard to find for like 3 months, but now they're everywhere.
Right.
It was interesting to hear the comic store – he told me, he's like, yeah, we don't even really focus on Star Wars anymore because Star Wars is everywhere and Star Wars is mainstream. He's like, in the 90s. Early 90s, mid 90s, when we were first going there, it was – no, you couldn't find Star Wars. It was the dark times. So it's interesting to see like sort of the flip, and what he has to sort of cater to in you know, comic and geek culture is not, you know, really superheroes or Star Wars.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars figures, did you guys know that the company that made those original Star Wars – I think it was Kenner – made the original Star Wars figures, they Star Wars originally approached a different toy company, and the other toy company was like, no, we're not going to, the quote was something like, we're not going to invest in every flash in the pan science fiction thing. And then, so Star Wars was like, all right, whatever, we'll go over here. And they went over to Kenner and they produced like the highest grossing amount of toys ever in the world. Right. And then that other company like freaked out. And we're like, oh no, we really messed up. And so they invested in every single science fiction movie that came out from that point forward. So much so that they went out of business.
Yeah, was it Mego? It was one of those. I'll have to look up what company it was that did that. Those all the sort of retro 70s companies. But yeah, it's crazy. And it's weird to think now, because if you go through like the toy aisle, you can find Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles. Everything from the 90s is still out there. Even like you'd say Cars, which has not had a movie in many years until this year, but has had a substantial toy base. I mean, there was a good – from like 1982 to 1996, nothing. You couldn't get a Star Wars – there wasn't a Star Wars toy in existence. And now I don't think we will ever be at a time where some niche company is not making pretty much every toy again.
Yeah. I remember seeing when those Star Wars figures – it was – what was it called? It was like the
Power of the Force.
Force or something, where they were like super jacked, like Luke
yeah,
and
yeah.
Were
Luke
like
was like a
bodybuilder.
Yeah, I had all of them, and I remember I bought a Princess Leia that was super rare, and she was like $50, and I like saved up my money, and I bought that Princess Leia action figure, and they had it at Galactic Quest this week for $5 in the box, new, and I was like, man. What happened here? Because it wasn't the same as the 70s. Because in the 70s, no toy was meant to last. No one was keeping things in the box. It wasn't. No. So that's why it became rare. There were no collectors of toys, really, at that point. I mean, there were, but very rarely. Because I have a bunch of the old, I have my uncle's 1977 Star Wars figures that my son plays with now. He actually took one to show and tell this week for, it's our week. So he took his vintage R2-D2. And, none of those are like pristine condition. And he has like three Han Solos, half of which don't have faces. And he loves Star Wars. It just was a different time. And I think now we have the oversaturation of toys. So really collecting toys again and not opening them is stupid, if I'm being honest.
No, you're right.
I'm going to get some flack for that one.
It's funny. Oh. Tim told that story. It reminded me of there used to be an amusement park here in the Chicago area. It wasn't in Chicago proper, but it was right outside. It was Chicago adjacent. I almost said Target adjacent because Logan said he lives adjacent to a Target.
Target adjacent theme park is the dream.
There you go. It was a little amusement park called Kiddyland, and it had been around since, Depression era. It started off as you just had a horse track and you could do pony rides for a nickel or whatever, but they started adding rides and whatnot and became very popular for decades. And there's a legend, and it's hard. Like, I have never seen this in the Disney archives, but it was in the Chicago Tribune because Kiddyland closed probably 7 years ago, something like that. A big family dispute, and they sold the land, and now it's like a Costco or something sad like that. But the story goes that when Walt Disney was putting together his ideas for Disneyland, and he was touring around to all these different amusement parks, and he went to Tivoli Gardens and Copenhagen and things like that, the owner of Kiddyland claims that Walt Disney came to meet with him and actually was so impressed by his operation, he said, I'd want you to come and consult with me. And he offered to pay him or whatever. And the guy said, what do I need to help you for? I've got my own thing here. What am I going to help you with your little park for?
Well, there you go.
And he turned down Walt Disney.
Like children land?
What do you mean?
How do you spell it?
Yeah.
I'm saying
K-I-D-D-I-E-L-A-N-D.
Ah. Not kitty, like Catland. I'll make that someday.
Catland.
Let's hope. But no, yeah, it was Kiddyland. It was very popular for many years, and then it kind of fell into a state of disrepair. Now, I know we have listeners here in the area who might take issue with me saying that, like the ones taking issue with Logan about not collecting Star Wars. I'll catch flack for that, because Kiddyland was like a sacred subject around here for a long time. But yeah. It was basically just permanently affixed carnival rides in a parking lot.
Yeah, we had one of those in Panama City, and I spent a lot of summers there. Miracle Strip Park. It was the greatest. I loved it. I was a season holder when I was a kid. And whenever,
it's like something else.
Yeah. Well, the Miracle – okay, never mind. We'll get back to that something else. But a Miracle Strip theme park, amusement park, it's still like a miniature version that now exists. They've reopened, like some hardcore fans opened and themed it that way. But it was exactly that. It was carnival rides that were just there and a couple exclusive rides. They had a bunch of those other carnival rides, but it's the same thing. It's sacred very much so. And I'm sure if I went back now, it's gone. It's been leveled. I would feel that way. But we don't even have any sort of theme park in Nashville anymore because we had Opryland, but it's been gone for – yep. A number of years now, and it's just for you guys, I'm jealous of the fact that you have theme parks so close by, because we got nothing. The closest one we have is Six Flags Over Georgia, or maybe something out in North Carolina like a Santa Land or Holiday World.
Well, what about Dollywood?
Yeah, there you go.
Dollywood, about 4 hours.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, that's over in and I spent a lot of time in that area with my family, but I haven't been to Dollywood since I was a kid because I just I haven't known Dollywood for me. Yeah, I'd say it's probably 3.5 to 4 hours from where I'm at, which is a bummer. So really, they're all kind of the same direction. It's about that Six Flags Over Georgia. It's about that to Holiday World. It's about that to then you start going down to the Santa Land category. It's a little different. Lake Winnipesaukee, Lake Winnie. A lot of
See when Bart mentioned his love for Thundercats. That like brought back a memory within my brain of a toy that I had when I was a kid. It was like a thing that you hang on the wall, and it was basically darts, but instead of darts, you had balls with little strips of Velcro on them.
Oh yeah,
yep.
And you throw them at the wall. Man,
yep. We should just call this the lane. BLT Toy Cast. Are we talking
about? Yeah. Did have something. We were talking about having to be in shape for something. What were we talking about?
I was saying I was getting in shape for the Orlando City match as if I was playing, but just for being,
yeah.
But no, I'm just being in shape to abide in my party times.
And that's what I'm doing for my birthday. I'm not getting in shape, but I probably should be in shape. I'm going to go to Discovery Cove again.
Very nice.
Discovery Cove is so much fun.
Never been. Never done it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's all you can eat, all you can drink. That's like,
oh,
that's
I love
the
that
selling point right
like
there.
Like everyone else thinks might be like, there's dolphins. There's all the experience. You're like, oh, all you can eat. Good to go.
Yeah.
Tell them I said
hi. You walk in at 10, you get breakfast, you get snacks all day. You go back for lunch, you get more snacks. Then you go back for dinner right before you leave. And then you feed some birds and swim with some fish. And it's magnificent.
Well, or jealous. Nice. I've not done anything like that, other than the shark thing that I mentioned before that's a lot more dangerous. But aren't you doing that right now at SeaWorld too, where like you just paid like $50 and like, well, you get to eat for a year?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the seafood it's not the seafood fest, Seven Seas Food Festival.
So for you as a local, are you just like buying it and like, all right, we're going here every night, prepaid?
No, there is, though. There are a lot of theme parks that do something like that, where they offer a, like you pay one fee for the year and then like you just eat for free for the rest of the year. Like it's a dining plan that is like $100, and then you could literally go there every day of your life and eat one meal for free.
Yeah, SeaWorld does. There's a guy I follow on Facebook who literally goes to SeaWorld for dinner like three nights a week or something, because he lives right over there and he's already paid for it. So he goes in and gets like half a broasted chicken and like a corn on the cob and something, and like he's like, it's great, and then I just leave again.
That's brilliant.
Wondrous. It's wondrous.
I don't get it. It's like have you ever noticed now, like at the gas station or something like that, are you getting like an icy somewhere or a Slurpee? A lot of it now will be like 99 cents for all sizes.
Yeah.
And it just like disturbs me greatly, because I can't help myself, because I'm a glutton.
Right.
That I can't be like, well, I mean, it's the giant size, so why would I not if I just throw it away if I don't drink it? But like it messes up my head. And it disturbs me greatly, because I start like breaking down the science and why they're doing this. And I've done Google researching on it. I've had people on it to be like, why are they what is this marketing plan? Why is it 99 cents all sizes? Just to get me to go smaller because I feel bad about myself, and to go bigger because why not? It reminds me of that. It's like it's almost a trick.
Yeah,
I think Dunkin', it is a trick.
Even our friends at Dunkin' do that. They'll do specials where after like two or three, any sized iced coffee is 99 cents. Well, I'm not going to get a small then. That would be ridiculous.
But see, I guess that makes a little more sense, because they're like, well, we got to get rid of this stuff. And
maybe.
And not as many people are drinking at that point. But some of these are all day, any day, 99. Like it's all the same. And it just,
yeah.
I get that it's a marketing tool for a lot of people. I don't like it. Not a fan.
McDonald's is that
way.
Any size pop is not. Any size pop, 99 cents.
I'm aware of all fast foods. That's why I'm having to do this where I haven't eaten anything today. I'm aware of all fast foods and what they're offering, from Bojangles all the way up to McDonald's. I've sampled it all.
Do you guys have, speaking of like food establishments, and it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a specific place that you guys are like, all right, birthday dinner, we're going here?
We always go to the Rainforest Cafe out here because I get a $25 gift certificate. So I take the kids and we go to the Rainforest. But I'm fairly disappointed with our local Rainforest Cafe. So I don't know if we're going to be doing that anymore.
So do you have any other Landry's around you?
No. I've got, actually, I just talked about this on my other podcast, that we have three Rainforest Cafes within an hour of us in multiple directions.
That's hardcore.
So I take that back. We do have
probably,
Got more Landry. You've got more Landry's you can shake a stick at. we do have a Claim Jumper, which I've never been to. And then we also actually they bought Morton's. We have Morton's all over the place. So
what the heck is a Claim Jumper?
Some kind of
like a rock climber, right?
It's a rest. I don't know what I've never even been there. I don't know what it is.
I've been.
It's just like
it's good.
Upper scale Fridays. Is it?
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what it is. It's just American food, a little bit nicer, not like a lot nicer, like Tony Roma's, like a bit stuff. Like it's not like I'm going in there going, wow, this is great. But yeah, I mean, I'm on their website right now. You got sticky toffee pudding cake is what they're offering right now. So it is supposed to be a nicer experience, and the food's pretty good. Like I've only gone once or twice because it's in the same. See, we have in our mall, we have like all of the Landry's restaurants are all together. So we have Aquarium, Rainforest, Claim Jumper, and one other, and I can't remember what it is. But we 9 times out of 10, because I'm with my kids, end up at Rainforest, because I won't eat at Aquarium because it freaks me out.
What is Aquarium? I've seen the sign, but I don't know what it is. We don't have it.
Aquarium is a restaurant that is much like what you'd have at like a SeaWorld or one of those places where you sit in giant aquariums and you eat fish while looking at fish, and it. And it's mediocre fish, so you're like, this isn't even fresh fish. That's fish. Like, I have fresh fish I'm looking at swimming, but the fish that I'm eating is not that great. And it's very dark, and there's something about it that just weirds me out. I can't do it. I don't like it. I'd much prefer any other option that's in that mall than than that, because it's just, but yeah, I mean, it's a cool theme, and you like looking at fish, it's nice. And I'd say it's similar to that SeaWorld restaurant where you have that, or at or the Coral Reef restaurant at Epcot, Coral Reef. Where it's just a little, there's something about, it's like eating Gatorland. There's something about it that's a little awkward. Like, it's a little bit like I'm here to like to take in the experience and also eat you. Like, it's something about it is a little creepy.
I still like that when we asked you what Claim Jumper was, you're like, it's American food. And then the first thing that you read is sticky toffee pudding.
I know. I went to the website. I was wrong. A Claim Jumper. What is a Claim Jumper? My wife is here. Amanda just walked in. Do you know what a Claim Jumper is?
She someone that stole someone else's gold back in the gold rush days.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. So, yeah, it's technically a restaurant and saloon, which I don't get that vibe when you're in there. Like, it doesn't feel.
No. It looks fancy. I mean, it's saloon. From the outside.
Yeah, it's inspired by the California Gold Rush of 1849. You could have given me a million choices of to what that was supposed to be themed.
Right.
And I would never have thought that restaurant was supposed to be if it was, that's awesome. They need to do that. What they do to Rainforest Cafe, if they made that California Gold Rush themed, I'd be all in. Like, I would be there every week.
Every waiter is an old prospector.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey,
my gold.
It's pretty much it would be pretty much the restaurant from the Wilderness Lodge one, the Whispering Canyon. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
But you know, made a little bit more gold. Yeah, yeah, exactly. If it was Ghost Town, then it would be brilliant.
And by the way, a Claim Jumper was a bad thing. I don't know why you'd want to name your restaurant after that. A Claim Jumper was a bad person.
A Claim Jumper is just somebody like when you during the gold rush, you would go out and you would like put your stake in the ground, like, here's my spot. And then somebody would just yank your stake out of the ground and throw it and put theirs in, right?
Yeah, and start panning the gold out.
And here, get away before you came back. It's real steak that you eat. That's what
it is. Oh. That's right. You go in and claim your steak. Like, get.
Thank you. Pick out your cow. Like, I want that one.
You've been to one of those steakhouses that does do that, right? That they bring over, like, not only like sometimes it's like they'll bring over every cut of meat that's raw, like in packaging, and be like, here's this one, or they'll bring you a map of a cow and you have to pick what part of the cow you want. Those are at like higher ish end things. They do that at the Charlie's Steakhouse in on 192 in International Drive, I believe there's one there too. They do that. They bring you like a plate of raw meat wrapped, and then do that. And then some of like the more hipstery places here, they'll bring you like information about the cow.
Oh, great.
This cow's name was Steve. He enjoyed long walks through the meadow.
That's right.
Yeah.
But have you guys ever done one of those steakhouses that does like the giant steak challenge where you get your picture on the wall if you complete it?
No.
I've never tried the challenge. I've seen those challenges before, but no, I've never done it myself.
I've never done one either. And I've been to a restaurant that does that when I was younger. And I keep like contemplating going back to it and like, mm-hmm. Maybe I'll be able to do it. But I've done food challenges before, and I don't know what it is. Like, I get psyched out. Like, I feel like if I sit down and I'm like, just like, I'm going to eat like a giant burger and like a bunch of fries and a milkshake and like just like a whole buttload of food, I'm fine with it. But if somebody's like, oh, there's a challenge where if you eat this, you get something, then it like psychs me out and I can't do it.
It's too much pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never attempted that. I don't want to be embarrassed, I guess.
I'm tempted to do the Buffalo Wild Wings, the Blazing Wing Challenge. I don't know. I got to work my way up to that level. I don't go much higher than hot there. So, but they've got one of those where if you eat a certain amount of their blazing hot wings in a certain amount of time, you get your picture on the wall. Basically, I don't even know if you get anything but your picture on the wall and a horrible morning the next day. But
there's just
I don't know if there's
a
any
picture of you crying on their wall.
Yeah, is the reward worth it? That's the question. Like, that's the thing.
Probably.
Like,
not.
I don't know if I want to be photographed if I do that. Like, if you gave me something, but I'd be fine with it. But it's like there's a permanent record of your gluttony right here on the wall. Not into that. What about though? Like we mentioned, the rainforest. Those are there any like gimmicky restaurants that you either in any weird ones you can think of that pop in your head? I got one, and that's why I want to bring it up. Like, what's the weirdest restaurant you've been to theme-wise, and you can't pick the Planet Hollywood Observatory?
Oh, God. I feel like my brain doesn't work correctly in situations like this, because I'm like, Chuck E. Cheese.
And you eat at themed restaurants pretty much every week.
I know. That's my daily life is eating at themed restaurants, and I can't, well, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. I have been to so many themed restaurants that I'm like, I don't know, they're all weird.
They all got these weird stuff hanging on the wall. They're all gimmicky. Everyone has a challenge.
Yeah.
Every steakhouse has a challenge, right? Even the high-end ones? Yeah. The Palm? Palm got a challenge?
Yeah, paying the bill is a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, and this isn't far out for the three of us, but maybe to the average person, I think the craziest one is probably T-Rex, which is also Landry's, but it's the Rainforest Cafe with dinosaurs.
Yeah. I've been there once or twice. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not great.
I'm gonna go next month, actually. I'm going to take my daughter because I think she's going to just go crazy.
For our kids, it's great.
But even for a dinosaur-themed restaurant, it's crazy because they've got, like, you've got mastodons with, like, T-Rexes, and they've got the ice cave room where you can't even, like, after 2 minutes, you can't see anymore.
Yeah, that's where, like, I ate, and it's bizarre and cold and uncomfortable, but it is cool.
Yeah.
It is a cool experience. Oh, man, that's awesome. Did you guys see, and hold on, I'm going to throw out mine, then I want to go to mastodons. Did you, have you ever been to one of those places where they throw the rolls at you?
No,
so there's like a steakhouse, and there's one in Florida, I think in Destin, and then there's one in Branson, Missouri. I'm going to type in Throw Rolls Steakhouse. There is Lambert's. So Lambert's is in, where is Lambert's? Lambert's is in Springfield, Missouri. It's also in Foley, Alabama, Ozark, Missouri. There's actually quite a few. Their website is throwedrolls.com. And there's other ones that do it. I think they went to one that's called, like, Blazing Buns. That they are, if not, I'm trademarking that. That's my spinoff. So yeah, there's this. No, there's one in Destin. What is it? Destin, Florida, throwing rolls. We're gonna find this out. So when you get there, and it comes up still late. I don't know. There's another one over there. It looks like they got sued for hitting someone in the eye. So you get there and they have hot rolls, and the waiters are just flinging them at you. And you have to catch them, or they, and like when you walk in, like I went on a non-busy time because we were in Branson, which I believe now is about every time in Branson. And there were just like casualty rolls everywhere on the floor. It was almost like you're walking in one of those restaurants, you could throw the peanuts, but imagine there were just rolls everywhere. And these like kind of beefed up Russian waiters who somehow ended up in Branson, Missouri are flinging rolls at you. And it's see, to me, like that's the best because like that's the end of the theming. Like other than that, it's like a normal kind of looking Logan's Roadhouse-y looking place. But other than but their thing is they throw the rolls at you. So it's not quite T-Rex, not quite those. But I didn't know if you experienced that. I feel like something that Bart, for some reason, I feel like you would have ended up in Branson at some point.
I'm surprised I didn't either.
Yeah.
They used to be able, if you went to Geno's East in Chicago, any of them, you could write on the walls. They had markers everywhere and people would just write on the walls. And it was like insane. Like there was not and not just the walls, you could write on everything,
right?
The tables, the chairs, so everything was written on. And now they've completely done away with that, I think, because people were just, you know, you can only imagine. So now if you go to Geno's, there are signs everywhere, absolutely no writing on any surfaces in the restaurant.
That's such a bummer. I hate when those traditions die. The Palm had that. The Palm had the original Palm in New York, which I used to go to as a kid. My parents, when we had like fancy dinner, when we go to New York, my parents would take us to the Palm. Palm 1, the original one. It's still there. It's one that opened, you know, 100 years ago. And it used to be sawdust floors and no menus. And I was so excited. And it was awesome. It was such a crazy experience. People yelling and screaming. And it was nothing like the Palm chain that's become now, other than the characters on the wall. It was very much a kind of a gritty, it's where artists, because that's why all those pictures are up on the walls here, but in the Palms, because like artists would go in exchange for food, they would draw caricatures and give them you know, art for food. Mm-hmm. And so it had that real vibe. And then I went like 2 years ago, maybe not even, and my wife, I was like, you're going to love this. And we went there. I was like, it's the Palm One. They're still advertising that way. And it was just, they had completely just turned it into the chain. Cleaned up,
yeah.
Nice menus. They even put the secret stuff back on the menu. I was bummed out. Corporate America, man.
Dang.
Yeah, that's what happens. Well, boys, I hate to say it, but I got to get back to work.
Man, we didn't even get to the mastodon. Here, we'll just, kind of like one word ended here. No, how do you feel about the fact that we may be bringing back the woolly mammoth?
I mean, it's interesting, but do we need it?
Yes, that's the answer. Yes.
I think that it's a step towards bringing back endangered animals.
Like what if it turns out the mastodon was a savage human killer?
Well, I assume it was.
Know that.
And they know Snuffleupagus.
Like they hunted in packs, goring us with their tusks.
Well, I mean, you bring back one. I think mankind can take on one.
Okay. I don't know.
But then the next step is Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah. Well, you think, you hope, right?
Which as a kid was the dream.
Replace some of the elements with some frog DNA, and then...
That's right. Fill in the holes with the code.
Anyway. Life finds a way. That should be the ending.
Life always finds a way.
All right, let's you got to go back to work quickly. Moon pie again, then before we wrap up, Bart, why don't you? You're a moon pie connoisseur, and Tim, you're a moon pie connoisseur. I've already given my love for moon pie. Why don't you explain people what you want out of this moon pie challenge?
I want us to be the official podcast of moon pies.
I think that may have already happened.
Okay, well, by default.
By default.
That's from. Yeah. So you got to tweet us and tweet moon pie.
Follow both of us.
Best follow. You follow. Yeah. Yeah. You got to like and follow whatever the difference is. And send us your best Photoshops. And you're going to get, think of no one else or very few people else will have this prize. So it's exciting.
It is.
I think.
It is exciting.
Tim, you actually kind of spurred this on because we talked about the Moon Pie Fest and then you proclaimed your love for Moon Pie. So I feel like you should also give your plea.
Yeah, I think everybody should definitely give us a tweet or, you know, and with Moon Pie and both of us, like we already said, and do your best to make an impact on us using whatever creative ability you have. And you might get this maybe like, you know, 12 of a kind Moon Pie box.
Yeah. It may be 12. I mean, if this goes well, who knows? But right now.
Very limited edition. You might save it up, and it might sell for more than your Star Wars collection.
Yes. Right now, if you could sell it for a dollar, you'd be making more money. You'd be already 100% profit. So
yeah,
you're getting it for free. So yeah, do that. Follow us again. And follow us in general, even if you don't want a moon pie, which why wouldn't you? Follow us at BLT Lunch Break. Same thing on Facebook. Go to the website. Buy a shirt if you'd like to support us. And really appreciate it. All right, Bart. Take us home.
Well, guys, I don't know what else there is to say except I hope you have blazing buns. No, wait. Hope. That's what you get after the wing challenge. I hope everyone listening enjoyed your lunch, and we'll see you next week.
And someone make a blazing bun shirt, please. And I will sell it. So go do that.
We're definitely going to get some fan art.
All right. Make it peach. Make it G-rated. All right. Bye.
Bye.